Thanks. Well, good morning. Welcome to Emmaus Church. My name's Nathan. If you're on the aisle over there and there's a basket under your seat, you want to grab that basket, hand it down. That'd be helpful for later. If you like a Bible, raise your hand. But I'm going to preach a really short sermon this morning, and the text will be on the screen. It's always good to have a Bible because you can see it in context. But we're going to put a bunch of different things in this sermon spot today. Typically, I'll preach 25 or 30 minutes. I'm going to try to keep my sermon today at about 9 minutes because there's several other things that we want to try to do in this space today. August 28th, August 28th, 2015, we opened for the very first time the doors of Lincoln's Youth Center right here in downtown Lincoln, Lincoln Brand Feeds Building. And today is the 7th anniversary of that, the opening of the Youth Center. And so there's three goals that we have for the next 30 minutes. One is to celebrate 7 years of ministry through the Foundry Youth Center to the youth of our city. The second is I'm going to try to clarify the relationship that the church has with the Youth Center, and the purpose of the Youth Center I think is going to become clearer as you watch some videos and hear from some others. And then finally, I want to invite you to partner with the ministry of the Foundry, to consider being a part, hands-on, in-person, the good work that's happening there. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is hear from Stephen Hay, who is a youth pastor right across the street at our friends at the Salt Mine.
I'm Stephen. I am the youth pastor at the Salt Mine here in Lincoln, right across the street from Emmaus. I've been serving in the community for about 10 years and have partnered with the Foundry since the beginning. The Foundry fits into the Lincoln community in a very vital way, playing a super important role in supplying our students with mentorship and educational resources, a place where they can feel safe, loved, and known, a place they know they can belong. There are a few specific needs that Foundry does meet in the community. Providing tutoring and other educational resources is probably amongst the most vital, along with targeted mentorship programs where students are prepared for success. If the Foundry went away, many students who actually call this place home, the resources they have as far as long-lasting relationships with mentors, people that they've come to know and love, it would leave a massive hole in the lives of students. The Foundry is important to me in the aspect that it gives me a friend, organization that I can partner with and rely on when it comes to tackling issues that I myself or the Salt Mine as a single entity or a person cannot tackle. A friend in the community that we have the same goal and same purpose, that's to serve and care for students and see to their success. 7 years, super special. I'd like to, one, just give some appreciation to the Emmaus Church community, supporting a project through the ups and downs these past 7 years and going into the future is no small feat. It is something that requires a lot of endurance and a clear perspective on what the true goal is, the end game, and what kingdom work actually looks like. So if someone could give you a round of applause, it would be me. Good job for continuing the good work. And I look forward to partnering with you and the Foundry into the future and seeing what the Lord does through this great organization and through a faithful church body.
So when we started, since starting the church in 2004, our goal has been, one of our main goals has been to impact the city. And you would be surprised, at least I was surprised, at how challenging it was to actually find a way that the church could support in practical ways the city. There's a natural barrier that exists in the minds of some in receiving the ministry or the attempts to help on the part of a church. And so, whereas this has always been a key value of ours, we had struggled for years to find a real concrete and specific and helpful way to make an impact in the city beyond the ministry of the traditional gathering of the church, worshiping together, discipling people in their faith with Jesus. So, when we opened the doors of the Foundry Youth Center, this was an effort to make an impact beyond the walls of the church. This was an effort to reach families and specifically the most vulnerable students in our city in a way that others weren't meeting these needs. And so we decided from the outset to brand and position the Youth Center distinctly from the church. We didn't call it the Emmaus Youth Center because we didn't want it to be primarily associated with Emmaus. We weren't going to fly our flag out in front of the youth center. We wanted it to be a wide open space, open for anybody who wanted to come and be a part of things that were happening there. We like to refer to it as Switzerland. It's neutral, at least in theory. And so we hope, and this has been, this has borne itself out. This has worked out the way we hoped in a lot of ways, in the sense that local high schools, Phoenix, Lincoln High, the middle school, Glenn Edwards School, students from these schools walk in and participate in the youth center. We're in relationship with the leadership of the schools. We've partnered with several other churches in town. This partnership is basically facilitated by the fact that, okay, it's not just an Emmaus thing. It's this collective effort on the part of the leadership and the people investing in the health of the city. We can come together. We can partner with this. We've partnered with service organizations like the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis Club, the Lions Club, and as well as several other organizations, or I should say foundations, like philanthropical foundations in Lincoln and in Placer County. So we have typically taken a real back seat in terms of placing Emmaus as the engine behind or the leadership of or the those in charge of the foundry. And frankly, we've realized over the last year that it's kind of caused confusion in this community. Like, do we support this youth center? Do we kind of give a $20 bill every once in a while? So let me just be really clear. We run the youth center, okay? This is our youth center. We started it. We fund it. Our staff is the organizational engine that runs and organizes it. We pay the rent. We pay the staff. We have had help from many others, but the lion's share, I mean, I don't know a specific percentage, but upwards of 75% of the funding to the foundry, a budget of almost $100,000 a year, is coming from our church. This is something that we have invested in as our lead effort in engaging this city beyond just the community, the church community itself. And we're excited about that. We see a great need for that. I'll talk more about that in a minute. I want you to hear the heart and some of the stories from Carlos Campis, whose birthday is today. We opened the youth center on his birthday 7 years ago, and he was the first director. And you're going to hear in this video some of the heart behind and the desire behind this effort from the beginning.
My name is Carlos Campis. My position was a lot of positions because I don't know what titles we had for it, but I ran the youth center. The need was great in a specific area in my eyes. There was a lot of kids who were being kind of dropped off by different systems that were supposed to be there to catch them. I think our first early group of kids were a lot of kids who didn't have adults in their lives, didn't have a lot of safe places to go. It made sense to make a community support net that could catch those kids before they ended up in one of the programs that I was working at before. So it was just a little bit more of a proactive opportunity to get some adults in some kids' lives. Having that safe place where kids can feel like somebody is keeping track of their position in life, that somebody knows their stories. Their life was being witnessed and their life was being cared about. Yeah, the TVs are around and there's games and stuff, but that's not why they kept coming. It's an excuse to, and it's an excuse to invite other people, and it's an excuse to first time come in. But the ones who kept coming for like that adult over there, they care about my life. I'm not getting that somewhere else. I think we started getting better at the end, being like, not only does that adult care about, but I have a group there who care about me. Like, I have a community in this space. As, you know, you get close to stepping away and being like, I don't know if it's gonna work out. Whoever comes after me, I don't think they're gonna be able to keep up this momentum. But as you step away, you see some of the older kids step up. There will be kids who come in who are supposed to be leaders. They will be identified, they will be given confidence and positions, and they will be more important than whoever's in the space, because they'll be the one providing the community aspect, the new kids, not just greeted by an adult who works here, but by the youth who have made it a home. The best memories are just, we would compile like a fail cam kind of thing, because we have cameras in the center for the kids' safety and also for our amusement. A kid would come up and be like, I just ate it. Because like they just would come in on a hoverboard and they would fall, and they're like, could you get me that clip? Because I think it's hilarious. And we'd see and they're like, fall. Or somebody would like do an impossible shot and people would get so stoked. They're like, can we see a replay? We would do snowboarding trips, just seeing kids just never snowboard, try to figure it out, teaching them. Same with like beach trip. Like we had a couple kids that the movie moments when they're like, I've never seen the ocean. And you're like, we're in California. Like, let's see the ocean. But I think the more important ones are like the really hard ones. Our Thanksgiving dinner, kids are just like, oh, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but like, this is my Thanksgiving, getting to feed them. And then harder, more personal stuff of kids who individually share that we could all guess at, but we keep that private because, you know, that's their story. The biggest ones are the ones that you guys notice are really fun too. Like, you guys see Dom around a lot. The kids who stick around, the homegrown heroes that you try to keep around as long as you can, because I think we as a community and as a culture and a society, we have the desire to like see our kids go, you know, go to a big, nice college, university far away, and like experience everything. And sometimes it's refreshing to be a part of them growing in the same place until they're ready to do something new.
Who was mentored through the Foundry, was always in the center as a high school student, is now on staff with us. She's our co-director of the space and has been, she interned with us. Her name's Lexi Byers, and she is a part of the Salt Mine Church. She's teaching a kids class over there right now. And she's a part of our staff team currently and doing a good job with the kids. Emily Cottle has also joined our staff team as a summer program director this last summer and is sticking with us this fall to continue to hold things together as we continue to serve and operate the center between full-time directors. And so there is a notes page, which I hope you grabbed on your way in, that shows some highlights and some things coming up. But I wanted to introduce you to Emily, give you a chance to hear her perspective and just ask her a couple of questions. Emily, start off by I forgot the mic. Let's grab that. Yep. Start off by giving us a couple highlights from the summer. What stands out to you from the summer programming and from your experience of hanging out with these crazy kids all summer?
Hi, guys. The summer was a blast. I got put on right at the end of May, and as you know, school is like ending. Kids are crazy. Kids are done. Mm-hmm. So we actually started off with like a finals de-stress week, and that was like our big week where all of the kids' activities all week long, just chilling, hanging mm-hmm. out. And you'd be surprised the amount of kids that opened up to us, like that first week that I was in there. Mm-hmm. And then those kids stuck around. So we gave them a safe place to have fun. That was kind of my priority as like the program coordinator, was I wanted them to be not on the streets all summer. Like without school there, they don't get like that attention that they need from adults. I wanted them to be with us. So I gave them fun programs. What that looked like was field trips, it was painting, it was going to lunch with a leader. I don't know if you guys have heard about that program. We do lunch with a leader. We started that this summer, and kids can just ask me, hey, I want to go to lunch with you, and I will go and talk to them, and they kind of open up about school, home life, harder, more personal struggles, and it's just really great that we've been able to kind of build that relationship with them over the summer as we go into the fall. Some of the other things that we did a Skills for Life class in July. And I had 10 kids build a resume, which they'd never done before. And they all told me, I couldn't do it. I'm like, they can do it.
They did it.
And then we had amazing speakers come in. Krista Dancy, I don't know if you guys are familiar with her, but she came in and talked about social media in May for a parenting series. And then she came back. We had her come back to talk to the kids because we were like, they need to hear this. Mm-hmm. And that kind of spurred us taking away video games in the summer, which was very controversial, by the way. I had kids say that they would not come if the video games were not on all the time. Yeah. So we started taking away video games for a couple hours every day. And it started out really like, they were like, I don't know what to do. You are so mean.
Right.
but then after a while, they're like, they stopped. They forgot that there was a TV in the room. So they were doing art with me. They were going on field trips. We took them to a skate park in Sacramento. I still have kids begging to go back. Mm-hmm. We took them to like a play, a Shakespeare play. A lot of the kids had never been to a play before. Like mm-hmm. you wouldn't believe the amount of kids that were like, what is Shakespeare? Mm-hmm. So we took them to that. That was a big learning experience because they didn't know what like play etiquette was mm-hmm. and how to watch a play and how to pay attention for those key things. So that was kind of like a big teaching moment for them. But yeah, that was the summer. It was a blast and crazy.
I think it was our strongest summer yet. we had some really strong programming and some really consistent volunteers, and I really appreciate the hard work that you guys did. Give us just a quick highlight into the fall. What are some of the big things coming up at the Youth Center in the fall?
Okay, so our biggest thing, the video game thing, was a hit. We actually took away video games completely, except for on Fridays. so Monday through Thursday, there are no video games. But that means that each day is a little bit different. We have different things planned. So Monday's homework zone, Tuesday's art, you get the idea. We are doing a couple different like life skills programs. We have kids leading clubs. So I actually have a group of kids that were so happy about that life skills class we did where they made resumes. They're actually leading a club to do life skills for the rest of their students. So they're actually getting cooking classes done by Placer County brought to them as part of their leadership, that's student leaders. Mm-hmm. And then September 8th, we have Dr. Bridges. He will come and speak about mental health to the kids. We just really like to get outside speakers to come in and kind of talk to them and raise awareness for things that they're not already aware of. We're going to be going on Glenn Edwards campus. So Lexi, my coworker, she will be on campus with the kids at lunchtime with the Salt Mine as well. It's actually led by the Salt Mine, that initiative. And we're just going to be going on the campus with them and having lunch and trying to get, see kind of what's happening in schools and help kids out there. And then we have a Golden One Credit Union. They're doing a class for us on financial wellness on September 20th. So we're really, really excited about that to try to teach the kids, like, what's credit, what's debit, and also just budgeting and stuff like that. And then things to look forward to, we're having a Friendsgiving again. So bringing back Carlos's tradition of Thanksgiving this fall.
Good. So. That's fantastic. Why don't you wrap up by just giving us a big picture goal for the fall? What are we trying to accomplish at the center this fall, big picture?
I think the big picture is we're trying to get kids more invested in their own future.
Okay.
We want them to realize that they have a future, that it's there, they just need to work towards it. And then we're trying to foster that through independence exercises, through creativity, through exploration of different things. But more importantly, we're just trying to be there and be like the people that keep them safe.
That's great. That's great. Where's the new mentoring initiative? Some young men from a workout group in town are going to start mentoring at the center. And so we're going to be walking alongside these kids, not just sort of like, hey, you should, but giving them some tools and giving them some mentors towards greater independence and opening the world up for them so they can see and dream big and then pursue these dreams. Yeah. Thanks, Emily. You're doing a good job. Appreciate you. Yeah. Thanks. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is Jeremiah 29. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Okay, we're dropping into, we're just parachuting for 10 minutes into the middle of this really complex, complicated story in the prophet Jeremiah, and I'm just going to tell you what's happening in really simplistic and broad strokes. It's about 600 years before the birth of Jesus. The nation of Judah, which is basically all that is left of Israel, has been destroyed by a country called Babylon and taken captive. Now the remaining Jewish people in the world are being held in these concentration camps in Babylon, which is the major power of the world. So try, if you can, to imagine something of what it might be like to be a person living in exile. You're away from your land. You're in a completely different country. Everything you're familiar with has been replaced by something else. The temple of your God has been destroyed. So every symbol or sign of your faith is gone. It's been removed. They killed your king. So any kind of figurehead or any kind of representation of leadership in your nation is gone. Ultimately, you're living in a foreign land. It's a foreign culture. It's a different language. Everything is other than the way it was for you before. There are dominant beliefs in this culture which are not neutral. They are fundamentally contradictory to your core beliefs. You are part of a people in exile. I think you could summarize it by saying your home is not your home. Okay. Your home is not your home. And as you might expect, the people that you're living with, fellow exiles in your community, they have different views on how you should live as an exile, right? There are various perspectives on the right way to be an exile. These various perspectives don't often agree. So there's conflict, even among the exiles, about how should we react, respond, use whatever agency we do have in the face of this oppressive government. It's Jeremiah's day. It's 600 years before the birth of Christ. And there are several voices who are widely respected in the community, and they are saying things like this. Things are about to change. Very soon, God is going to deliver us. He's going to bring us back to our home. We're going to leave this place, and we're going to go back to our home, and we're going to rebuild it there. And of course, this is a very popular message because this is what people want to hear. They don't want to live in Babylon. They want to go back to their home. And so it's a very popular message throughout the first part of the prophet Jeremiah. The message is, forget this place. We're going home. But God reveals to Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet. Because God reveals to Jeremiah that this season of exile is going to last a long time. It will end, but it's not going to end soon. And so Jeremiah is told to proclaim this message, which is very unpopular. Jeremiah's message is, make yourselves at home here, where it is not your home. He writes a letter to the people, and here's what he says. It's what I started with. We'll put it on the screens this time. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too will have sons and daughters. You see the three generations there? Three generations. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The most surprising line in this letter for me is seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Two things are surprising about that. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city which is not our home. That sounds like God has a bigger plan for this place. And the second, to which you carried us into exile. Okay, that sounds like God has a bigger plan for us in this place. It's biblical passages like these, friends, which are the headwaters of streams in the Christian faith, whole traditions which emphasize working for the common good. Working for the common good means working alongside people who don't look like us, talk like us, think like us, believe like us, and yet we can partner with them for the general thriving of the city. Why would Christians do this? Why would we work for the common good? Why would we not just work for our own good, especially when it feels like we're in some kind of adversarial relationship with those in control? Why would we work not just for spiritual health of the city, like through a traditional church community maybe? Why would we also work for the economic health of a city? Why would we work for the environmental healing of a city? Why would we work for functioning structures within a city like schools and health clinics and a youth center? Three reasons. Because Christians believe that in the beginning God created the world and it was very good. And because Christians believe in the sacred dignity of all people, that all of life is a gift from God. And because Jesus taught his followers to pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So throughout history, various groups have taken this call to be not just explicitly and exclusively focused on the spiritual growth of their own group, but have taken as their responsibility the common good. Groups like Benedictine monks, who said, let's live here in a way that genuinely honors God and offers to the world around us a compelling alternative to the societal values in vogue. And maybe even we could become this firm and stable root from which those around us can grow and thrive. Let's not just work for our own personal interests. Let's partner with those around us for the common good. Let's help build the roads. Let's help plant the crops. Let's start schools. Let's open hospitals. Let's maybe even start an after-school youth center for these kids that we see smoking pot out on the railroad tracks and throwing rocks at locomotives that go by. Let's build a place and invest in a place where adults who believe more in the kids than the kids even believe in themselves can give them a vision for the next chapter of their life. When we started Emmaus Church Community in 2004, there were three questions that guided everything that we did, especially in those first couple years. And the first of those three questions was this: what if instead of trying to build a church, we committed to shaping a city? And it was this way of thinking and this way of believing that moved us to serve this city from day one. Before we ever had a worship gathering, we were volunteering with the city, trying to help out where we could. We wanted to be a church that was shaping the city. We wanted to do what was required to actually form a city. And it was this way of thinking and believing that caused us to start a youth center 7 years ago today. And it's the shape the city kind of thinking that compels us to do the hard work to continue to serve the most vulnerable youth in our city. And by extension, their families. We've helped kids get driver's licenses. We've helped kids get jobs. We've helped people get documented. We've helped people in court. We've helped people in prison. We've helped people who are coming off of big time drug addictions. We've given vision to kids for a life way bigger than their parents' generation or their grandparents' generation. Very humbly, quietly, with about 15 failures for every one success, but there's been some good and hard and effective work done in this space. I want to invite all of you to invest in the next year of the Foundry Youth Center. And there's two main ways that you can do this. Two main ways that you can invest in our eighth year. One, we need volunteers. We're open weekday afternoons. And it doesn't happen without volunteers. We need men who will be in the center, who will be a strong and stable presence in the center, who can build relationships with kids, who have very few relationships with men, who can play pool, play air hockey, stand up when the insecure bullies start bullying the kid who's smaller and nerdier than they are. We need men. We need grandmas. We need grandmas to sit at tables, use watercolors, help them figure out a brownie recipe, listen to stories. As Emily said, here's what we witnessed this summer. Participation goes up when the screens turn off. The screens turn off when there's real people engaging in real conversation and offering real relational, face-to-face relationship with the kids. So first thing we need is volunteers, and the second thing we need is financial support. Costs us almost $9,000 a month to run the youth center. The rent has gone way, way up. Being in walking proximity to the high schools is critical. It's essential. That $9,000 pays for rent, two part-time managers, and minimal program costs. As we watch this final video, it's about a three-minute video the students did, I'm going to ask you to consider supporting the Foundry. Either as a volunteer once a week or a couple times a month, just an hour or two, or with a regular financial gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, $500 a month, so that we can continue to do the work that needs to be done so that we continue to work for the common good of this city. Check out this video that they watched. Oh, on the...
Sorry about looking at the cameras, just look at me.
Sorry. I said start, and then I stopped. On the bottom of your notes page, action step, you can. There's a square for I can volunteer, a square for I can give. You're welcome to give us an address and a name, or I mean an email and a name, and just tear that off and put it in a basket. Or there's a QR code. You can use your phone, scan that QR code. It'll take you right to where to volunteer or right to where to give. Thank you for considering that as you hear from these student leaders.
And you don't have to worry about looking at the cameras, just look at me, okay? You're fine.
Do I look bad? Sorry. Okay, wait, okay, I'll be for real this time, okay?
Hi, I'm Jade. I'm a student leader at the Foundry.
Hi, my name is Mario, and I'm a student leader at the Foundry.
I'm a student leader at the Foundry in Lincoln, California, and my name is Tatiana.
What's hard about being a teenager today?
The one thing that's hard about being a teenager today is the group of generation that I am in doesn't really decide to make good choices.
Most teenagers don't believe in themselves.
A lot of drama.
And it's hard to go in a different direction when it's the right direction.
What does the Foundry do for you?
I'm shy around a lot of people, well, new people, but it makes me a little more social because usually I don't talk to new people when I see them.
It's been my day-to-day place to go after school, so that's why it's important. I came here to have fun, ask people for help and everything.
It feels great. Just someone, me talking and someone or people sitting there and understanding or try to empathize what I've gone through, it feels really great.
It's a little weird because I'm usually the one listening to people, and like when I talk here, it feels like I'm being heard.
How it feels like when you guys believe in me, it feels good because not a lot of people believe in other people, and when there's a certain amount of people that will believe in you, that feels good. The Foundry is important to me because it's more like a second home. I feel I can be myself, I can be more comfortable with my surroundings and the people that are with me. It's more of we're all a big family, and it's really great to be here.
Great. Good job, Emily, for putting those together. Thanks very much. Good job. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to invest in the common good through this effort, this part of our church. And thank you for those who have consistently supported the Foundry for the last 7 years. And I pray for help, God, as we endeavor to continue forward. I pray that you would supply the resources we need to continue to have this space and welcome in partnerships and do a better job all the time equipping and resourcing the kids of our city. May you guide us as we consider ways to more personally support this effort. May you supply for our needs, enable us to be generous with what we have. Thank you for this church that sees the bigger picture. Help us to continue to work for the common good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.